charge car and van drivers to use new ultra-low emission zones in Belfast city centre, or ban the use of wood-burning stoves and coal fires in centre parts of the city. These are some suggestions from the Centre for Cities. It's a research and policy charity. It follows a publication of their new study linking more than 1 in 24 deaths in Belfast to pollution. And it puts Belfast third worst offender in the UK, behind London and Cardiff. So how do you feel about emission car zones charges and being told not to light your fire? Mal O'Hara is from the Green Party in Northern Ireland. Good morning, Mal.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. Arthur Atchison, the architect and planner. Arthur, haven't spoken to you in a long time. Good morning, Arthur.
Hello, Stephen. I'm very well, thanks.
Well, what do you make of these proposals, Arthur?
Well, we're talking about these tiny particles, Stephen. I'm looking at a human hair here at the moment. And these particles are 30 times smaller than the width of a human hair. They're absolutely tiny. They're basically invisible unless you get them in huge swarms like in smoke and so on. So this is a kind of hidden danger. But it doesn't just apply to the city centre. It applies to everywhere. And we're now at the stage where we have new technologies. We're at a tipping point. We've got a new government in Westminster. We've got new government now in Northern Ireland. We have opportunities. We've had renewable resources being helped and manufactured here at Harland and Wolff in terms of wind turbines, in terms of wave machines. I'm building a new house at the moment. I'm putting solar panels on for the first time ever. I'm putting an electric heat pump in. Potentially, that's a zero carbon house. So that is going to be the reduction that we need, not just in a city centre, but right across. And your next car, Stephen, might well be an electric one.
Mal?
I think Arthur hits a couple of the key notes there in terms of the opportunity for transformation, Stephen. You know, the report talks about 187 deaths in a year in Belfast. I mean, that's a scandalous amount of deaths attributable to air pollution. And air pollution is a solvable problem. It requires political will. I've been campaigning on this issue for a long time. Greens across Belfast measured NO2, which is nitrogen dioxide, and we identified a significant number of breaches, 28 breaches of the legal limits, and that was last year. And then Belfast City Council, in its own monitoring, is repeatedly identifying breaches of the legal limits. So we know there's a problem with the level of air quality in Belfast.
Well, I was stunned. Sorry to interrupt, but I was stunned by some of these numbers. Well, it's actually written down in black and white when I was looking at some of these numbers. 178 deaths in Belfast linked to a deadly toxin, PM2.5, in just 1 year. 178 people in Belfast, that's 4% of all deaths in the city down to that pollutant.
Yeah, and I think, Stephen, you know, there's a lack of public awareness around
linked this. Linked to, should I say, not if down to, linked to.
And this is great why your show's raising it, because it's just such that vast audience that people can become more aware of this issue, and therefore it then behoves politicians to act and address it. If we were losing 178 people every year for some other reason, there'd be a huge public outcry. So one of the first things that I did when I was elected last May was to bring a motion on air pollution. And that was about enhancing the monitoring that we do across the city so we have a better idea of what that looks like and where the pollutants are, whether it's transport, whether it's industry, whether it's domestic fuel. The second element was adopting more stringent targets. There's the European limits, and there's the World Health Organization limits, and in some instances, the World Health Organization limits are more stringent. And then the third element was about creating clean air zones, and that's exploring how we can reduce emitting vehicles coming into city centre and therefore create cleaner air. And it's potentially transformative for Belfast.
And Arthur Atchison, I'm just looking up the BBC online website here. Some of our network colleagues in Wales wrote an article on this entitled "Is Air Pollution Really Killing Us?" And the BBC website reports there have been several scientific studies into both the short and long-term impacts of air pollution on our health. Reports for the UK's Parliamentary Committee on the Medical Effects of Air Pollutants and the World Health Organization have shown air quality can worsen asthma, lung function, increase hospital admissions, cardiovascular problems at your heart, impact on death rates, And the one of those committees reiterated its stance: there is good mechanistic evidence for a role in some of these pollutants shortening life. So it's there in black and white. I don't think people realise this.
There's no doubt about that, Stephen. And simply producing what you call a clean air zone means you draw a red line on a map and just outside that, it's not clean air. So we've really got to be looking at the fundamentals. You know, our car industry is changing dramatically. Volkswagen alone, for example, have invested 70 billion euros in changing to electric vehicles. And electric vehicles are now commonly available. There are charging points. You can put one in your own house. And that dramatically reduces the amount of vehicle emissions that are harmful. The new generation of buses, two of them, I believe, were announced today to be on trial, will just produce water out of the exhaust rather than soot and particulates.
And to repeat the top line, because this could all start to... There's so much information about the environment these days hitting the public that sometimes they miss the core story. So the core story that we're talking about this morning is that one of these pollutants, which has been linked to deaths, and it's called PM2.5, the highest levels anywhere in the UK of that pollutant is Swansea and Belfast. So that's where we're at.
PM2.5, it means tiny particulates. Those are the things I'm talking about that are 30 times smaller than the human hair.
But Belfast, the worst, that's the story. Belfast is right up the top of being the worst in terms of being polluted with that pollutant.
Yeah,
and we are not surprised, Stephen.
Arthur's right that, you know, clean air zones aren't the only solution, but they're part of the solution. I'm just being realistic as a city councillor, what I can affect change on. But this requires public health. This requires, you know, you've talked three mornings in a row about the challenges in the Department of Infrastructure. We need a modal shift in how we look at transport. We need to move away from building our communities, our cities, our towns for the private car vehicle into creating more sustainable communities which have public transport. And that has so many other additional benefits in terms of the wider public health agenda, in terms of creating more cohesive communities and making people feel like they have a stake in their community, Stephen. And I think those are the big macro challenges that the Assembly is going to have to face. And if we address air pollution, it plays a significant role in addressing the climate challenge as well. So it's a win-win. We just need the political will and impetus to make the change.
John's in Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning, Steve.
Go ahead, John.
Just a quick comment here. I'm wondering how they're going to manage this clean air policy when we've got aircraft flying over the top of us all day long, dropping air pollution on us. And we know aircraft are one of the main reasons for pollution in the world.
That's a fair question, Arthur, isn't it?
Yeah, we absolutely need to be looking at the support of people such as the major carriers who are now seriously talking about electric aircraft. You know, things are changing. We're definitely at a tipping point. Greta Thunberg has advertised this worldwide in her very strict stand on not creating pollution. We've got to be followers of Greta. We've got to look at that. We've got to say, you know what? We've got to use our influence. And if you're buying those tickets on the plane, you've got to ask the plane carrier, what's your pollution deal?
And John is right, Stephen, when he calls there. You know, we in Belfast, what we need to do is, and what we are committed to do, and I pushed it through, is that we're going to do a detailed assessment of air pollution across the city. We haven't done that since 2010, and that means that we'll be able to identify where the primary sources of the different air pollutant emissions are, and then put in plans to address it.
Okay.
And that means looking at, you know, cruise ships. That means looking at airplanes. That means looking at industry and pollution and transport. Look at what Glasgow's done. They're doing a phased implementation of their clean air zone, and they've started with their public transport system. And great news this morning, the Translink locally are moving on hydro vehicles.
Yeah.
Glasgow's doing a similar.
But we still need to talk about airports. We still need to talk about cruise ships. They're very important to our tourist industry, but we can't just ignore their impact on the environment. Andrew in East Belfast. Morning, Andrew. Morning.
I just wanted to know Mal have the figures for what percentage of our electricity still comes from fossil fuels? Because if people are buying electric cars and still a vast percentage of our electric is coming from burning coal at Ballylumford or whatever, you know, is there really a net benefit then?
Andrew, I don't have it at hand here, but what I would say is sometimes people think if we just transition to an exclusively electrical fleet, then that solves it. It's actually about changing behaviours in addition to moving to an electric fleet. So, you know,
we are at a tipping point where on certain days last year, more than 50% of the electric generated across the UK came from renewable sources. We've never been there before. We've really got to take advantage of that and move forward. And by the way, Northern Ireland could afford to have free public transport, not just for the over 60s, but for everybody. And Paul, that would dramatically change habits overnight.
Paul's in Belfast. Morning, Paul.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I'm just wondering, all these particles the two boys are talking about there, are they generated over the year or in one particular time of the year? Because I'm just thinking more of the bonfires.
The what?
The bonfires.
Ah, come on. You're just trying to wind it up.
What? Burning tires, burning settees, burning mattresses, and they're not particles that kill you?
I think they're particles, but I doubt that they are the major, fundamental, singular contributor to the majority of pollution in Northern Ireland. You're trying to wind it up.
Check the figures. Get the figures out there, and let's check them.
Paul, the measurement that the EU asks us for the legal limits, you know, some of them are done over an average hour, a daily mean, over a longer period. So there's different kind of ways that they're measured, and that's why the detailed assessment that I push for at Belfast City Council will take a year and will give us an extremely robust picture of pollution, air pollution, and its sources across the city.
Okay, Paul, thank you. Fred and Dromore, morning, Fred.
There's only two words I want to use. Who pays for all this? When we think that...
Well, while you're thinking about money, don't forget about the other figure, which is 178 deaths in Belfast linked to this pollutant in one year.
I understand that, but there are times when maybe in some weeks you had 178 people killed in Belfast.
No, you don't.
But
no, you don't.
Getting back to, pardon?
No,
you don't. Getting back to the other point, it's all the stuff about pollution, etc. When China and India are opening an coal-fired power station every week and an airport every month.
Paul, I won't accept that. If 178 people are dying in Belfast because of a solvable issue, I'm not going to cast my eye to China or India. My responsibility is to address it here in Belfast, and that's why I prioritise this issue.
Yes, but I wonder, would everybody be like to walk to work or Stephen there, cycle to their work? Will they turn down the centre heating?
Okay,
five or six degrees?
Right. Listen, we're done. We're out of time. Arthur, thank you. Mal O'Hara, thank you. The Department of Infrastructure have been in touch with the Nolan Show once again, clarifying points about people who have already had an MOT test and are getting an MOT exemption. I'm going to say this really slowly to the Department of Infrastructure this morning. Our questions are about people who have not had an MOT test ever before and are getting their MOT for the first time. Could your department please, rather than constantly answering a question we're not answering, is there any chance of the Department for Infrastructure not contacting the Nolan Show ever again, ever, ever again, about MOTs which are being extended? And is there any chance of someone within the Department for Infrastructure answering questions to citizens of this country who cannot tax their car because they're applying for an MOT for the first time? Thank you for your company today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.